Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina back again today. We have a special guest. We're going to let her introduce herself, Katie Kane. But just as a reminder, what is Real Life Mentoring podcast all about? Well, we train and equip adults to become holistic, effective mentors in the church and businesses, impacting individuals, families, and communities into the next generation. Chris, do you want to introduce our guest?
Well, I'm limited in my knowledge of Katie, but I do know that Katie Kane is the founder of an organization or foundation called
Center Stage Foundation.
Center Stage. I know that one because our daughter works for Katie.
Right.
So it's a privilege to have you, Katie.
Yeah. Katie, introduce yourself, and then we're going to tell everybody why we want you on today's show.
Okay. Yes, I'm Katie Kane. I grew up in Norman. I went to OU. I'm married to Nathan, and I have 3 adopted children. And I started a program called Center Stage, and it's a theater program here in Norman for kids ages 3 to 18.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, one of the reasons we wanted to have you today is kind of your story of what it looked like for you to have another person come alongside you.
Yeah.
And we know that person is Judy. Mm-hmm. But let's start off by, how did you first hear about Jesus?
Yeah.
How did you come to know the Lord? And then how did you grow in that whole journey?
Yeah, so a big part of my story is I was diagnosed with Tourette syndrome and OCD when I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
And that really was a big challenge, obviously, because my body would do movements that people didn't understand. And I really struggled with intrusive thoughts, so much to the point that at age 14, I actually went to see a specialist in California. I stayed there for a month and a half, so I was away from my family and my school and my dance studio. I learned some tools to cope with it. And at that point, I knew who there was a God, but I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Later, I got through high school. It's a miracle. I got through high school, and at age 19, I had another really bad setback with OCD and Tourette's, and so much so that my mom knew I needed help.
Okay.
And she reached out to Judy Hartsock, who is my mom's first cousin.
Okay.
And she was always a woman that I looked up to and I admired her. She always had M&Ms in her house, which I always thought was really fun because I loved M&Ms, and she always had a bowl of fresh M&Ms. I don't know why. That just is a really fun memory.
Uh-huh.
But she reached out to her because we always knew her as a really stable woman that loved the Lord, that knew the scriptures, and we just all respected her so much. So my mom said, Katie's having a really hard time. She's not eating. She's not functioning. She's completely shut down, and she needs help. And so from then, I started meeting with Judy, took me under her wing and started meeting with me. And
what does that look like? She took you under your wing.
And I want to also ask, what was daily life like for you during this time? Were you in school?
Yeah.
Were you staying at home? What was happening?
Mm-hmm. So once I graduated high school, I really was shut down. So I wasn't really functioning. Mm-hmm. I was at home. Yeah. So, no, I was having trouble, like, even applying for jobs. I remember I got offered a part-time job, and I was so frozen with fear that I couldn't move forward. I couldn't drive. I could only drive to certain places. I really liked to Sonic or the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
I was terrified of driving at night. So once it was dark, I didn't drive.
Mm-hmm.
Also, with OCD, you just have so many irrational fears of, like, I can't leave my room if it's not clean enough or something bad will happen. I mean, it's just very intrusive and irrational.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just really, I describe it as like living with torment, like day in and day out, nightmares. So so when she started meeting with me, we went to her, it was an old racquetball courts, and she had remodeled it, and it's very cozy and it has couches and it's very welcoming. And she sat me down and she said, Katie, like, how can I help you? And I said, I don't know what peace is or what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Jesus is the Prince of Peace.
Mm.
Yeah, so she she started teaching me who Jesus was.
Wow.
And who the King of Kings was, and that he actually came to rescue us. And he could rescue me too.
I'm just imagining, for someone who didn't know what peace was, to know that Jesus, his title is Prince of Peace.
Yeah, so good. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Yeah, so she said Jesus actually wants a relationship with you. So she really gave her life for me. I mean, so Journey Church at the time had a college ministry called Lifestream, and I had never been involved in church. I had attended on Sundays. So she was teaching me who Jesus was, and she also taught me a love for the church.
Wow.
So she would drive me, because I was afraid to drive at night, and Lifestream, the college ministry, was at 9 o'clock at night. So her and Bob would pick me up from my little condo that I eventually moved into with some roommates. They would pick me up, and they would drive me every Thursday. They'd take me to dinner, and then they'd take me to Lifestream. And Judy would stay with me during Lifestream every week. And these college students would be like, why is your mom here with you? She's not my mom. She's just an amazing woman that's helping me live. So I remember when I think you asked me how I came to know Jesus. And they were – so Judy and I were in the – we were worshiping with this group of college students. And there was a song they were singing. It's Where the Spirit of the Lord Is, There Is Freedom. And the first time I heard God's voice, he said – Katie, do you want to be free? I said, yeah. He said, lift your hands to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's when I say I met Jesus. So I don't know if I answered all your questions.
Well, so Judy, and we know Judy, she seems like an intentional, deliberate woman. And you needed that in her life.
Yeah. And just the fact that she would... I mean, she was just available to me. So I remember many days I would just call her and say, can I come over? And her house was so safe. And I felt the Spirit of the Lord there. And yeah, so she just really made herself available to do life with me.
Wow.
She invited me alongside her to watch how she lived and watch how, you know, she mothered and all those things. And I just got to see really healthy family and healthy walking with Jesus and what that was like. And she also had me sign up for a small group at Journey. And I said, oh, I don't do that. I don't talk to people. I mean, I really didn't have friends in high school. So she said, no, you're going to sign up for a small group. And I mean, she doesn't really give you choices. If you know Judy, she just tells you what's happening. And I was like, oh, okay. So,
but you needed that, didn't you?
Yeah. So I signed up for a small group and I met incredible women that I would say were my first friends. At age, you know, 19, 20. And I remember just this season, what I call like a spring season of like everybody I wanted everyone to know who Jesus was.
Wow.
So I would get all these books that Judy was giving me to read and I would go buy them for people. And, you know, I just was on fire. Like that was like my first love. Like Jesus saved my life. Like he can save yours too. Yeah. And I just started just preaching everywhere I could. Eventually I started leading a small group and with my best friend.
Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier you said, I don't do small groups.
Yeah.
And then you end up leading a small group.
I end up leading a small group.
So maybe we come back around to that a little bit later. But what, something happened inside of you confidence-wise.
Yeah.
And what was happening with the OCD and Tourette's during this time too?
So I was still definitely managing it. But Jesus was just teaching me. I started, once I got saved that day that I said, I'm going to lift my hands to Jesus, I never stopped meeting with God. Like every morning it was giving God my burdens. Judy got me this book called God's Promises for Every Day. And I struggled with fear. That's a big thing with OCD is just fear in general and anxiety. And I would just, she would say, just shout these scriptures. So I would just, every night I would shout the scriptures. I would just say them as loud as I could in my room. God did not give me a spirit of fear. I would just say those over and over. And I started learning like not only who God was, but who God made me to be, like my identity in him. She really shaped that. Like she taught me like who I was in Christ. I was actually seated in heavenly places. So it's not that OCD and Tourette's went away. But God was bigger. God was bigger than it.
So Judy didn't hand you religion, did she?
No.
She handed you what?
Jesus, my Savior, my rescuer. So that's where I learned really just that day-to-day walking with the Holy Spirit with Jesus. And wow. I just haven't stopped talking to him. He really walks and talks with us.
Do you remember any specific conversations that she had with you that you'd want to share? I know it's been a while, but we want people to understand, guys, this is real life. Mm-hmm. You go, what would I do as a mentor? Or what, if I needed a mentor, what would they talk with me about? Everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you said she allowed you to just be with her in her own home and watch her do things and how she said things.
Right.
It's not, it doesn't have to be complicated and it doesn't have to be formal.
Yeah, that's true. I think one thing that she always did was she would point me to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So she didn't try to just give me worldly advice. That was a big thing she didn't do. She just pointed me to Jesus. Mm-hmm. One thing she said too that I always look back on is, or she'd ask questions like, who said you couldn't do that? Like when I'd say, well, I couldn't do this, this, or this. Yeah. And she'd say, well, who told you that? Mm-hmm. And so then I have to think about like, where did I start believing I couldn't go to college or I couldn't have a job or drive after dark? She would just say, like, ask questions. That was a big thing she did, is ask me questions to get me to come to conclusions with Jesus. Mm. She also would say things. I remember she would say, Katie, when you're having a hard time and you see someone that has something in God, go get prayer. And I learned from my developmental years as a Christian, I knew I'm never going to pretend like I have it together because I don't.
Amen.
So I'm going to go ask for prayer. I could be leading small groups and I'm going to say, I'm struggling. I need help. Pray for me. And that was a thing of humility that I learned from the get-go. But she would also write things down. So things I would tell her I was struggling with, she writes down everything. And so she'd come back to it. Hey, remember a year ago you said you were struggling with this. Now look here where you are. And that was always really powerful for me. So,
What are things that you learned from her that you do now with young women you pour into?
Yeah. So a big thing that I learned from her is that you can't control people's process or decisions you know, you sometimes we want so hard for the people we're mentoring, like, make a better choice. And I think, like, letting that go, that's not my burden to carry. Like, my job as a mentor, or just, like, what I learned from her is that she didn't take on my burdens. She didn't. She made herself available to me. She made herself, like, I could go into her home at any time, really. I could just show up. But she didn't take on my pain as hers or my struggles as her struggles. And I think that really was powerful. Like, it didn't affect her, like, if I make that choice, okay, she's going to go about her day with God. And her, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so I learned, like, oh, I don't, when I'm discipling people and they're walking through something heavy, I actually don't take on their heaviness. I point them to Jesus and I release them. And so that's really freeing. Like, our job is not to solve their problems or fix them or make them better.
Right.
Like, only God sanctifies.
But do you ever, have you ever tried to do that?
I think so, yeah, for sure. I think because I'm a human. So.
That's been a battle I've had, and I'm much better at it now, but I've learned to release that person.
Yeah.
And you still care about them.
Right.
Even with our own children.
Right.
We have three adult daughters. You have
three adopted children.
Are they all adults?
They almost,
okay. That parent tendency for me is like, I got to help fix this, or don't let them make this mistake. And it's exhausting, and it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. We have to give them to the Lord and like know that we aren't responsible for their choices. So I think that was a big thing for me, is because I'd be going through something heavy and I'd think, I don't want to bring this heaviness on people and on her. And then people have said that to me, like, this is so heavy. Are you sure you can handle this? And I'm like, I really can't, but God can. You know, like, I really can't handle it, but I can sit with you in it and I can point you to Jesus in it. I think we sometimes tend to want to fix, you know, like we think like, someone's going through something, I've got to fix it. And sometimes we just need to sit with people. And that was what Judy did. She sat with me in the hard places, in the dark places, in the places that felt really hopeless. And she would sit with me in them. She didn't try to fix them or control them or advice, like give me all this great like how-to. It was like, no, we need Jesus. Like, and so that's what I really try to do with people. I'm not scared of suffering. I'm not scared of hard. I've been through a lot of pain in my life, and Jesus sat with me in it, and he stroked my hair, and he was with me in it, and loved me through it. That's what I want to do for people. I want to sit with them in their pain and point them to Jesus. So
I love, because we know Judy,
yeah,
how she didn't back off or become something different. She just used her personality.
Yeah.
Like,
right,
you know,
right.
Now you're going to a small group.
And yeah.
I think that's important. Like, we don't have yeah. to morph into whatever no. as a mentor. We
right.
be who God created us
yes.
to be, because our mentee or people uh-huh. we're discipling, they need us to show up as who
right.
we are.
Right.
Yeah. But I love the things that she did for you is she didn't give you the answers or the advice or, well, I think you should this. No, Katie, you seek out
yeah,
Jesus. You go
right.
to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So she was intentional. She was deliberate. She asked you good questions.
Yep.
She listened well.
Right.
She took notes, and
mm-hmm.
she came back to the notes to say, I want to know what's yeah. going on with that.
She did.
She allowed you to be
yeah.
in her life.
Yeah.
You were not a project.
Mm-hmm. No.
Is that fair to say?
That's very true.
There was something else I was going to ask. Oh, sometimes this happens, and I think it's human nature to do this. So we go through pain mm-hmm. and difficulty. Mm-hmm. We make it through that, and we're on the other side, and we're telling people what God has done.
Right.
An assumption can be made mm-hmm. that now it's good to go.
Yeah.
It's just now it's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's not true.
No.
Many times, right?
No.
So is this fair to say, Katie? So part of my story is this. I battled, without even realizing I was battling it years ago, growing up, with a loss or a fear of loss.
Yeah.
There
right.
was so much loss growing mm-hmm. up in my life. At age 37, the Lord showed me that, Chris, you are controlled by a fear of loss.
Yeah.
So he broke that off of me in a particular day.
Mm.
And what I discovered, though, fear of loss still visits me.
Yeah.
It doesn't live
right.
with me or control me
right.
anymore like it did, mm-hmm. but it visits me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair to
yeah.
say that about your life?
Absolutely. Mm. I mean, Tourette's and OCD are not gone. I'm mm-hmm. walking through in this season of life a new level of healing, but it's not gone. Like, struggle mm-hmm. is not gone. So I'm so aware. I told Libby this the mm-hmm. other day. I said, I'm the weakest of all of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that
mm-hmm.
because my weaknesses actually point to Christ
mm-hmm.
and his strength
mm-hmm.
is perfected in my weakness.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually am okay with that. I'm okay with saying life's really hard sometimes, mm-hmm. a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so dependent. I think that's what I learned through pain and suffering, is that dependence on Jesus
mm-hmm.
for every day.
I think that's different than periods of time, or how I've seen other people walk through hard times.
Yeah.
Is, mm-hmm. oh, I'm having such a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, poor me. Oh, victim
yeah,
mentality.
Right,
that's
right.
one thing. But what you're uh-huh. saying is, I'm having a hard time. I'm walking through
right.
hard things. The only reason I'm doing this is because Jesus is my strength and
yes.
I'm dependent on
Amen.
Him. Those are two different
yeah.
scenarios.
Yes.
Yeah.
So right.
And I thought about this. So I grew up in a lot of dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this mindset, okay, when we get through this problem or this pain, then
yeah.
I'll be able
right.
to really
right.
enjoy
exactly.
and live my
yeah.
life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What's wrong with that mindset?
It doesn't really work.
It doesn't work because there's something else,
there's
right?
There's something else. Like, life's going to throw something else at you.
Mm-hmm.
Seasons change. You have kids. You do different seasons change and different hardships arise.
Mm-hmm.
Suffering, we are not promised a life not, you know, void of suffering. It's
mm-hmm.
actually the opposite. Like,
mm-hmm.
we have suffering. It's what we do in the suffering
mm-hmm.
And how we respond. And I think what I learned from Judy is it is so important to be grounded in the Word of God, because we don't always feel God.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
mm-hmm.
feel God every day.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have that truth in me, I can claim that truth.
Yeah.
Because that's true no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that was a big thing. And she taught me to value the scriptures
mm-hmm.
above feelings, above anything else. Not that feelings, I mean, I love feelings.
But
they are not, we can't be driven by them.
Right.
Because, you know, we won't get anything done.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think that was another thing that she taught me is valuing the scriptures and cherishing them. So that, because in different seasons, I'm going to need to claim those. I'm
mm-hmm.
going to need to, like, preach those to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love the lesson, and I've seen you because of your connection with our daughter, Libby.
Yeah.
Going back to God's word,
yeah.
that's the anchor, that's the truth,
right,
that's
right.
the standard, not my circumstance, good
Absolutely.
Or bad, my feelings, mm-hmm. good or bad.
Yeah.
What is God's word saying? What is God, through
yeah.
the Holy Spirit, saying to
right,
you?
Right, right.
That's the driving force.
That's it, that's it. And I think leading people, too, we can think that we have to have arrived or we can't show weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody I said to Libby the other day is like, I said, you should show that weakness. Yeah. Like, it's actually beautiful. It points to God's strength. Because I think, yeah, we do. We think we have to put on this leader hat. And it's like, you know, when you're mentoring people or whatever, and we all lead something. We're all leaders in some way, most of us. I think we think that we have to be a certain way, or we have to, like, I've arrived, you know. I haven't arrived at all. Yeah. I'm very aware of my limitations and how much I am desperate to call, like, to call on God. So,
But Katie, God has changed my life so much through the Lord. I don't know how many years, maybe in the last 10 years, God gave me this statement that I have learned to be confident in my weaknesses. Yeah. Now, that sounds like a strange statement.
It does.
I've learned to be confident in my weaknesses. Yeah. What I mean is this. I have weaknesses.
Right.
Some of these things I've overcome and moved beyond. Right. I have a lot of strengths, but I have weaknesses. My weaknesses sometimes make other people uncomfortable more than they make me.
Yeah, absolutely.
You sound like you're the same way.
Absolutely. People are uncomfortable with that. Mm-hmm. And even me walking through this newer journey of Tourette, like walking through another level of healing from Tourette's, people are super uncomfortable when my body is doing movements and they're like, oh, we got to fix it. We got to, like, you got to do this. You got to go to the doctor, you know.
Yeah.
And they immediately just jump into fix it mode. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, actually, God is teaching me so much in my physical, even physical limitations.
Yeah.
Like, I tell Libby, like, I've got to sit down. Like, my back is worn out from tics. Like,
oh, gosh.
And I'm like, you know, it affects my whole day. Mm-hmm. And people are uncomfortable with that, you know, and they're uncomfortable with suffering. People tend to want to fix, which I understand.
Yeah.
But I think it's beautiful when you can just sit with people in it and, like, experience God in the tension. Mm-hmm. God actually wants to meet us in those places of tension, in those places of suffering, in those places of weakness, so he can display his glory, because that's what it's about, right? It's about his glory, not ours.
This morning, because we've talked before, occasionally we'll have episodes with anxiety.
Yeah.
When they come, it's not fun. And so I was struggling this morning and you sent me a text this morning. You were like, I almost started canceling because this is such a hard season.
Right.
But I want to come because I want to boast about what God's doing.
Yeah.
Can you address why this is a hard season, what you're walking through right now? Yeah.
So this last May, God really asked me. I had been on medication for OCD and Tourette since I was 8 years old. And I honestly had not been praying about going off of it. I went off of it one time when I was, I don't know, I'm 40 now. So I was probably like 25. Mm-hmm. I went off medication, but it was for all the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. It was trying to people please. Mm-hmm. It was a misunderstanding of faith. So I thought, if I have enough faith, I can go off, you know. And the Lord clearly spoke to me in that season, Katie, who told you to go off your medicine? Mm-hmm. You know, like, and he told me, he said, I never asked you to do the most radical thing in faith. Mm-hmm. I asked you to be obedient to me. And so that was a really big breakthrough I had when I was about 25. Mm-hmm. But this last May, God really spoke to me. I mean, there's a couple of times in my life where I'm like, I heard God's voice. Like, that was clear as day. And he said, Katie, I want you to go off your medicine because I'm actually healing you.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, great. I'll be healed.
Yeah.
But that has not been easy. That's been actually, it's been devastating, actually. Mm. It's been the hardest, one of the hardest seasons of my life, because I'm going through a lot of just deep healing from childhood things and trauma and all these things that I think did play a part in my diagnosis of OCD and Tourette's. And so I think the physical pain that I'm in with Tourette's is probably what's making everything harder, because you're just more exhausted and you're tired.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm like so okay with saying, like, I'm so weak. Physically too, right now. I just am. And there's just an element of people not fully understanding, like, why would you do that? And that's not your suffering. Why would you do something hard when you don't have to suffer that way? But what I know is that God is doing a deep work in my heart of healing through this being stripped away of all these, like, buffers and band-aids that I had on. So, and I don't feel shame about taking medication. I think God uses it. It's beautiful. I'm not saying that, but for me, when God says, this is a season where we're stripping this away because I'm doing a deep work, I'm going to be obedient to that.
Right.
It has not been easy, but I've also heard God really clear in this season. I've experienced deep healing from childhood in this season. But the hardest part right now probably is just the physical. Mm-hmm. Just, I'm in pain a lot. I mm-hmm. can't go as hard as I usually go.
Yeah.
So there's even, you know, lessons in that, like, of, yeah. okay, it's okay, take a step back. Like, Libby, you just teach the class.
Yeah.
So how long have you been off of medication now?
Since May.
Since May. And this is, as we're recording this, this is November of 25.
Right, so, okay. Right. So it's been a long, while. Yeah, it's been a journey. So, and I've seen a lot of breakthroughs in a lot of ways. I'm doing a lot of natural things. I have an appointment with like a wellness doctor just to see, like, make sure all my vitamins and everything are good.
Yeah.
And if God at some point says, hey, we're going to go back on it, I'm not opposed to anything.
Right.
But I do know that this is an intentional season where he's stripped this away on purpose. Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay, so you know when we talk about mentoring, we take the holistic approach.
Yeah. And
so we cover six areas. We're spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, professional, and or educational.
Yeah.
Because they all impact one another.
Right.
We know our foundation is the relationship with the Lord.
Right.
But like you just said, you're doing some checking with a specialist concerning your physical health, right?
Right, exactly, yeah. Right. So I have an appointment. Everything's really backed up right now, but I do have an appointment at the end of this month with like a wellness physician. So I'm hoping to like address any deep issues that I have there that could be roots to any of this. Mm-hmm. I exercise every day. Diet is important. Like I kind of stripped away gluten and things like that that have proven to help with ticks. So people have like, there's a lot of research out there, just people not removing gluten from their diet, they saw breakthrough in ticks. So I am addressing the physical things as well, because it is all tied together. And even trauma like affects us physically. Mm-hmm. So the trauma I'm walking through, I've seen how it affects the physical as well. Mm-hmm. So it's all just really connected.
Yeah. Tell me, as you look back at 19-year-old Katie, what did you need the most from your mentor, the person who discipled you, Judy? And what did she give you?
I think I was craving safety. Mm. And her home provided safety for me. Mm-hmm. And safety in Jesus, like knowing Jesus, that he was safe. Mm-hmm. But also just a safe home. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many people that I know, young people, that just don't have that sense of safety at home. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was really what she provided. It's like a safe place. I mean, even later in life, like when I've had anxiety attacks, I would go stay a week or two at Judy and Bob's house.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Just spend the night in her bed. It was always just so soft and everything so nice and fancy. And I loved it.
Uh-huh.
And it felt safe.
Yeah.
And so she would provide that for me. I mean, when I was in my early 20s, I went through a really bad spell of anxiety and, and like an uproar of OCD. And I spent a couple weeks at her house just staying the night. So just that safety she really provided for me. So.
Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah. When we were, when I was pregnant with our second daughter, it's kind of when anxiety sort of raised its ugly head we didn't know what was going on.
Right.
I couldn't take medicine. I was like, what's happening?
And I didn't understand it as a young husband. I said, well, let's go watch a comedy. Let's take a walk.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't take care of it.
It doesn't.
But there was an older lady at the time. She was probably 70. And Rachel Hartman, we've talked about her a lot. And she was like, sweet girl, this is your body. You're having anxiety. And I would just come and sit at her house because I knew she made everything okay. It was safe.
Yeah.
And she would say, well, let's just pray. Or she'd say, you can take a nap.
Yeah.
And it was just that safety to go, okay, my body could let down at her house.
Yes.
But she also ministered to me as the man, as the husband.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
She helped me to understand. She helped me to chill out some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not try to fix me.
Right. Yeah, not try to fix you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to say as we sort of wrap up?
I would love to share just a quick story of God, like meeting me in some of these dark places. And I think it will encourage people. We adopted our three children a year and a half into marriage. And
that's not stressful.
Wait, all at the same time?
Yes.
Yeah. Because they're a sibling.
Wow.
Maybe we should do another podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I remember I was sitting on my porch. OCD was hard. Tourette's were hard. Work was hard. I was also a trauma therapist. I went to school. That's what I went to college for.
Wow.
So I worked specifically with children who'd been sexually abused. So I was just in a tough season of life. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't new to me, to be in a tough, dark season. But I was on the porch. My granddad, Dick Liddell, had just passed away, and I was really close to him. Mm. And I remember I was sitting on the porch, and I said, God, adoption, everything's hard. I don't feel like worshiping you. I don't feel like, you know, reading my Bible. I've learned to be really honest with God. He can handle it.
He can.
And I just, I don't feel like doing any of this. Mm-hmm. But I'm sitting out here, and I'm here, and I need you. Mm-hmm. And I remember I put on this old song. It's called More Than Ashes. And in the bridge it says, there's going to be a wedding. It's the reason that I'm living, to marry the Lamb. And I don't know what technically happened, if I had a vision of heaven, or I don't really know exactly what happened, but I saw my granddad in this garden, and he was laughing. Mm. And I love gardens. They're really special to me. And I just pictured him in this garden just laughing. He had this really, Santa Claus, jolly laugh. You know, that's how I would describe it. He would just, his life was actually very hard. But he would laugh, and when he laughed, it was, heavenly to me. Mm. And I remember he was laughing, and he was pointing, and he said, he's so worth it. Oh. Jesus is so worth it. And I think that is just what I want to be said of, my life at the end is, Jesus was worth it, because he is. Mm. And we're actually going to spend eternity, worshiping the Lamb, and it won't matter how many Instagram followers we had, or, it won't matter. We're just going to worship the Lamb. Mm. And I think I feel like that's my testimony, is that Jesus is worth it. He's worth suffering for. He's worth it all.
Do you always feel that way?
No.
Of course. I'm glad you said that, because I don't always feel that.
No.
But I know it's true.
But we can know it without.
We can know it, yeah. I don't always feel it. Many days I don't. But sometimes I say, God, I want you more than these other things. But I actually want the other things more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So God, help me. God, change me. I told Libby that the other day. I said, I don't always want God more.
Yeah.
I want to want him more, but I don't. I want comfort.
Yeah.
I want to feel good. I want relief.
Right.
That's where we say, God, change me. God, help me. Help me. Help me. Help this to be true.
Wow. Any other thoughts for you?
No, my brain is full.
Yeah.
It's so good.
In a good way.
In a good way, because This is a misconception for some people who are considering mentoring. I don't have it all figured out. I don't have it all together. Or I've got my own junk. Who am I to help somebody else?
Right.
And actually, that's part of the...
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like a gift, but that's some of the gifts that we actually have to offer somebody else.
Amen.
Right?
That's so good.
That's your story.
That's my story.
That's so much your story.
Yeah.
Puts all of that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will never have it together enough.
And you know what? It feels good to say that to me. To say, I don't have it all together.
Yeah.
I'm really good at some things. I've got some gifts and talents, but I've also got weaknesses. Mm-hmm. I have challenges. I still sin.
Absolutely.
But man, just put it on the table. Mm-hmm. No surface conversations.
So good, yeah.
We talked about this before, that we always have a corporate sponsor.
Yeah.
And we're going to let Center Stage Foundation be today's sponsor. Tell us a little bit about that and how people can find out more and to actually donate to the foundation.
So I started Center Stage, I think it's been 10 years now, this theater program. And what I realized is that everyone can't afford to pay tuition. But I don't want to turn any children away. So I started a year and a half, 2 years ago, a nonprofit branch of my business, of the program called the Center Stage Foundation. And that basically, that just allows me to not turn any child away. So I can pay my staff, I can pay my bill, pay everything that needs to be paid, and still let every child, even if they can't pay tuition, come to Center Stage and experience the arts. So you can give at centerstagefoundation.org, and you can learn more about just what Center Stage is, who we are, what we believe, and our vision. And you can also donate. You can donate one time, or you can do a monthly giving. So that's all available on the website.
Well, we're grateful for you taking your time, especially in this difficult season. But boy, it's worth it just to hear what you're letting God do.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Because we can stop the work he wants to do by our disobedience.
Right.
So thank you so much for being on today's podcast. If this was helpful, and I can't imagine how it could not have been, like, subscribe, but send it to somebody. Send it to somebody who maybe is going through a dark time.
Yeah.
I just know that Katie's testimony, it'll be meaningful to somebody, so send it. So as always, we're just really grateful that you chose to listen today. If you'd like to contribute to continued really good content like Katie's, go to fahrenheitmentoring.org and find out how you can contribute to that. So as always, thank you for listening.